Going strong. God is doing some great things, and we're a part of a brand new study, and it's called church. Talks about church covenant, church membership. If I were to ask 10 people, in fact, if I brought Mitch up here on the stage, I know he would do this. He wouldn't turn red. And I would say to you, I'd say, Mitch, what is a church member? And he would say, okay. And he would do an excellent job. And so what we're talking about this morning is experiencing something with Christ. Do you believe that this group of people right here can change the world? Now that's kind of vintage. That's just a little bit bold. But as I shared with some, if you can change one person, if you can lead one person to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and help that one person walk with Jesus, you have changed the world. And so therefore, that's what we're taught. We are world changers. When we look together as world changers, but as we become world changers, we need to say, do we believe this group of people right here can do it? Have we come together at that point where we will assimilate, watch each other's back, care for each other, work with each other as we change the world? Part of the reason that we're looking through this series right here called the Church Covenant is because most people do not know what a church covenant is. In fact, the church covenant that we're using is one that reaches back around 1622 over in England. Then it moves over around 1832, 1833. It moves here into the United States. And then we begin to assimilate that, and then we bring it forward, and we reach out and touch. This is what's going on in our life today. As I so enjoy sharing with people, I say, we have people who worship together on Sunday morning from the Church of Christ, from the Methodists, from the Baptists. Well, we have a few Baptists sprinkled in there. And we just have all kind of folks that we share together right here that we worship. And we're going to say, well, why State Line Baptist? Why? Well, we're going to give you some of those reasons. Part of the study that I'm working with right now is a guy, a pastor named Marshall Davis. Marshall Davis, he pastored a church in Rochester, Pennsylvania. And it was an old church. It began on the Ohio and Beavers River in 1874. And in that church, every Sunday, they recite the church covenant. And he said when he went there, he said no other church that he ever went to ever did that. But when he went there, he reached down that point. As they were reciting, he said, when it came to that part that I will not sell or participate in intoxicating beverages. All of a sudden, he said, in that phase of the church covenant, things got real quiet. So he went to the people and said, well, why does it get real quiet? Because he said, used to the church was a teetotaler. But now today, the church is not a teetotaler. And that's where it got quiet. And so they began to say, what is this church covenant? We used to see it on the wall. Mel and I grew up, used to have about a 6-foot plaque, about 3 or 4 feet wide, and had the church covenant in it. Are any of you old enough to remember that? Okay, good. Here's the next question. Now, this has got to be an honest answer question. You saw that 6-foot picture. Did you ever read it? Okay, we had some who was honest and some weren't. Okay, because you know, I don't ever remember reading the whole thing. I remember reading pieces of it. But what does it say? What did it say? What does it mean? Now, you can also come across from this element right here. You could say, well, that's tradition. That's man tradition. And I'm going to respond to you by saying, yes, it is a man's tradition in which you've got a church covenant, which you bond together. But by the way, did you know when the pilgrim came over on the Mayflower, they had something called the Mayflower Compact? That was a Mayflower contract. That was a Mayflower agreement in which this group of people banded together and said, we're going to live with structure. And we're going to do the best that we can to honor this structure. And so therefore they came together as a body. And that's where the Mayflower Compact. Even so much that many churches of our history past said, look, we need to join together, we need to band together, and we all need to be on the same page so that we can move forward for the cause of Christ. How can we do this? And so they said, let's make an agreement. Let's make a covenant of this body of believers to do that. Well, I understand that in our culture, in our day and time, people don't like to make commitments. When I was teaching a youth group over at Faith Baptist in West Point, and I said, why is it that y'all don't like to make commitments on the weekends? And they were very honest. They said, on any given weekend, we've got three good things to do, and we have to choose which one. You've got so many options of what you can do that many times people don't want to commit because they got so many good options, and if they get a better commitment, then that's what they want to do. In youth life, it used to be wherever it is happening, that's where we go. Didn't know what it meant, but wherever it was, that's where you go. You gravitate. And so therefore, in our day and time, in our culture, we have many people are gravitating to different churches. And we have a terminology, we call that church hopping. And so in this church hopping, it's moved away from that period of time in which we go to that church because grandma went to church. And then grandpa went to that church, and mama went to that church, and I'm going to that church, and my kids are going to go to that church. That's not the way it is today. Things have changed. So if things have changed like that, then what will gravitate us together? Well, maybe an agreement that we will do the best that we can. And what are we talking about? Well, do you ever make agreements? When you go to the restaurant and you use a credit card, do you make an agreement? When you fill up the car with gas, do you make an agreement? And when you pay the phone bill, do you make an agreement? You know, isn't it amazing how we make agreements every day of our life, but when it comes to the church, I don't want to make an agreement. Well, I owe for my phone. I don't owe my church family anything. Well, maybe even your whole life, when you get down to it. So what are you doing? You're saying, Pastor, are you trying to stir it up? Absolutely. I love to do that. I love to get things stirred up. I love to get people talking about stuff. I like that because, you see, on this church covenant that we're going to be going through, and by the way, your bulletin today is listed out, the long version and the biblical background behind it, so that we're not going to have time to go over each and every word today. We're really not. So therefore, we got a few more weeks that we're going to put inside of this, and you're going to say, well, where are you coming with this? Well, in the church, if you want to know what Baptists believe, there's two documents that we kind of work with. By the way, and let me also tell you this, every Baptist church is an independent Baptist church. There's no hierarchy. There's nobody outside this church. There's nobody that tells anybody of this church how to worship, where to go, what to do. Each Baptist church is an independent Baptist church that stands alone. And so therefore, because of that, we stand alone, but we also come together and we agree on certain things. In fact, we participate with the Southern Baptist Convention because it is the best missionary program in existence. And so therefore, we are a participant with that, and we'll explain a little bit more about that. So two things. One, you've got a church covenant that deals with how we, and agreements. Two, if you want to know the theological background, we many times hold to what we call the Baptist faith and message. Hey, Scott, Chris, I need some assistance here. Give these out until they run out. And in the Baptist faith and message, this is what you're going to do when you want some, hey, I want to kind of know what's going on, what's being taught, what's the theological ramifications, how does all of this work? Well, that's what that little pamphlet is right there. It really began back over in England. It picked up, and it was updated in 2000, so you got the 2000 version. And you're going to say, well, as I read through all of this, I already know this and I already believe that. And then I'm going to say to you, that's right. So for a lot of part of what you're going to be reading, you're not going to be experiencing something new. But for the first time, some of you are going to read and say, wow, that's what that means? And there's a lot of different categories inside of that. So we're not going to be, that's for your extra reading right there in your time. Some people, I know some people's best reading time is when they go to the bathroom and they close the door. And nobody else is around, they enjoy reading right there. Wherever your reading place is, you enjoy it, okay? And you take that point. And I've got another 100 of these ordered, so if you didn't get one this week, I'll try to get you some in the next couple of weeks. That's for additional readings. That's the theological side of it. But what we're doing now, we're moving into the practical side of this as we are looking at what is this teaching us. Now, when you look at a covenant, I'd like for you to remember that the Bible talks about covenants all throughout the Bible. The Bible talks about a covenant. It talks about an agreement. The first covenant that's found in the Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." That was the first covenant. If you remember, that was dealing with Noah and the great flood, in which God said, "I love you," and 8 souls were saved. That was the first covenant that was given. The second covenant, the last covenant that was given, in fact, we find in the Bible, in the King James Version, you find 292 references to covenant. So if there's referencing that many times with people agreeing with God and then with each other, and then all of a sudden you begin to say, hey, let me take note of this. The last covenant that's mentioned in the Bible is found in Hebrews 13:20. "Now the peace of God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, and that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So the last covenant mentioned in the Bible is the blood covenant, the everlasting covenant with the Lord Jesus. Let me give you one other verse kind of in preparation right here. In Ephesians chapter 2, three times in the Bible, you'll find the plural covenants. Now, 292 times the word covenant. Three times mentioned covenants in the plural. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says, "That at a time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Let me give you just a quick snapshot right there. There was a time in which the Gentiles, by the way, you got two groups of people. One, you got the Jews, other, you got the Gentiles. I think all of us in here are Gentiles. I don't know for sure, but I think we are. And so, therefore, there was a period of time in which we as a nation, we as a body, we as a people had no hope. Zero hope, because we were not in a covenant with God. But then, God, through His mercy and through His grace, offered to us to become a part of that covenant relationship with Him. And we received hope. Year of the church, where hope is found, it's right here. You can find hope. Now, in bringing this together, a covenant. What is the church covenant is a voluntary agreement by members of a Baptist church whereby they promise to conduct their lives in such a way as to glorify God and promote the ongoing of His church. All right, not bad. Not bad. But let me ask you, are you willing to commit to the group of people who are sitting around you? Are you willing to enter into an agreement with them voluntarily? Nobody forces you. Are you willing to say to this group around me, "I will serve God, I will be here, I'll worship God, I will help each other, I will support the church, I will be a part of the church, I will band together, and I'll conduct my life in a way that would not be displeasing to God nor my brothers and sisters in Christ"? Are you willing to say, "I'll do that"? I'll do that. Are you willing to say to this group of people right here that we will be world changers from this place as long as God leaves us here? And by the way, at the end of this church covenant, you're going to see that if you ever decide to leave this church, just join another church of like mind and thought when you get there. When you leave this church, you just don't go off and go into oblivion. But you join up with another body of believers who are working for the kingdom of God. Now, that's where we're headed inside of this. So, introducing this in this first paragraph in this covenant, I want to touch just this first paragraph real fast. And then I'm going to ask you to go home and do the rest on your own. Now, through the course of these next few weeks, I will reach out, I'll grab a piece of this, and we'll talk about it. But if when you receive this book that you have, oh boy, you know what I would really like to do? I'd really like to ask, how many of y'all read chapter 2 in preparation for this week? How many of y'all read chapter 1? Okay, all right, good. We got a couple of hands on chapter 1. By the way, get ready for chapter 3 next week. Okay? Read ahead and know what the subject matter is going to be about. Then you're going to get more out of it. You really will. So, you mean you're asking us to do homework? Whew, that's a tough one. And you mean you're going to ask me openly, did you read? I'm not going to tell y'all that Frank said he didn't have enough time this week, okay? I'm not going to tell y'all that. But anyhow, we can make some time, can't we? We really can. And so if you haven't read chapter 1 and 2, do that, because that's all of that's in preparation for chapter 3. And you're going to see it's a small book. It's the kind of book I used to love in school. Give me a small book, because I can read a small one. You give me one of those thick ones like that, then you have to go to Aubrey and say, hey, Aubrey, would you read this? She reads those thick books, you know? But for me, it's that small. Now, what is it talking about? What are you agreeing to? What are you going to say to a group of people here? You're going to say, first of all, this church covenant, it begins, and in that bulletin you can read it, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior on the profession of our faith, having baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. That's the opening line. That's the focusing on that. But behind every line, there's meaning. For instance, only saved people can enter into the covenant. If you're not saved, you cannot enter into this covenant. Because it says, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. In other words, you can't join in with a covenant of believers if you're not a believer. So therefore, first thing on the line here, you say, am I born again? Do I know Jesus Christ? Secondly, the covenant is the foundation is of Jesus Christ. It says to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior on a profession of faith and having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So you see, that's what we're talking about being a believer. Being a believer is when you receive Christ Jesus. That's the most important part. And if you want somebody to watch your back, let it be a believer. Let it be a believer. They will watch your back. And coming together, this is this covenant, and this covenant is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you agree with other people, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no foundation can lay a foundation other than that one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, when you make this covenant, anytime you make an agreement, you got to have a witness. By the way, sometimes in my business, when I make contracts with people, I bring them in there, and I got this long agreement, okay? And I say, we can do one of two things. I can read every word for you, and I will gladly read every word for you, or I can go over the major sections and tell you what is in there, or I can just basically give you a run through, and you can sign the contract. Guess what most of them want to do? Yeah, just basically tell me what's in there and let's sign the contract and go on. They ain't got a clue what's in the contract. because I didn't read it. I didn't get the small print, and I did not do anything dishonest with them because we stand behind it. But you know what a lot of people will do? They'll come in and they'll sign a contract in the church and say, yeah, I'll do it, but they never count the cost. They don't know what they're committing to, and they don't know what a church membership is. And they don't know that that person that's sat next to you, you got to be nice to them. Because that's in the covenant. You got to love them. So therefore, I'm asking you to read the small print. And I'm asking you to count the cost. And I'm asking you to know what God is saying for you to do. Because if we're going to be world changers, and I believe that's what God put us on planet Earth for, is to be a world changer. We got to join together. Now, there's three witnesses right here. By the way, when you do this, there are three groups. In fact, if you study the scripture says, no man shall be killed, no man shall be executed under the witness of one person. You've got to have at least two people if you're going to kill somebody. Okay, that's Old Testament, Frank. But you got to, how many witnesses? Right here. Three witnesses. When you make this agreement, these three witnesses are, it teaches us that we're in the presence of God, of angels, and of this assembly. Whoa! Of God, of angels, of this assembly. So therefore, when you start talking about making a commitment like that, man, we need to look closer to that. 2 Corinthians 13:1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Therefore, when we join together. Now, there's two attitudes to be found in here. And the two attitudes, as we continue to read it, it says, most solemnly and joyfully. When you commit to being a world changer, it's this group of people right here. It is a solemn commitment. It's not, okay, just let me sign at the bottom line and let's get on with selling potato chips. It's not that. It's solemn. You honestly go before God and together with God, and you come to this conclusion, this is what God wants me to do. But did you get the second one? Joyfully. I love that. Preacher, where do you want me to sign? For about the next 5 or 6 weeks, I'm not going to open up the doors to anybody to join the church. Okay? Now, I am going to open up the doors of the church for you to get saved. But for the next 5 or 6 weeks, before you can say, preacher, where do I sign up? I want you to know what you're signing. And I want you to know what you're going into. So that you can say, please, let me sign up. In that concept, the scripture says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, how many of us need to have this peace of heart and rest inside of us? We need to have this, and this is the place to find it. You're going to find it here this year, 2019. This is going to be a place of hope. And then lastly, on that opening comment, it says, enter into a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. One enters into a covenant with a body of Christ. The scripture says, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembly together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that the day drawing near. Not forsaking. Assembling us. Hey, you're committing to go to church. You're committing to be an encourager. And you're committing that you know that the coming of the Lord Jesus is soon. And so therefore, because we're going to be a world changer, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to use me in this body as an encourager. Everybody needs an encourager. In the church, there are no lone rangers. When I start thinking about there's no lone rangers, I start thinking about that generation. They even know who the lone ranger was? And Tonto? Yeah, oh, Miss Gracie does. I'm with you, sister. But you know, all of a sudden, we're beginning to say, look here. People really do care about me. People really do care how I feel. And when I assemble together, I'm not coming to be beat down. I'm coming to be raised up. Because there's not a one in here that doesn't need encouraging. Every one of us need encouragement. So, what is your assignment? Read what you haven't read. Read chapter 3 for next week. So you know where we're headed. And if you want to take that deep plunge, you can go to the Baptist Faith and Message and read through that. Read through that on your free time. Is it worth it? As you would read in the covenant about the last line, it will tell you, this is the church that Jesus Christ died for. So if you want to be a part of a church where Jesus Christ died for, I'm saying join with this body of believers. Now, are you saying this is the only church? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not saying that. Are you saying this church is better than other churches? Well, yes. I am saying that. Are you going to give me the reasons why? Yes, but not today. You're going to have to come back. In fact, if you read the book, you'll already know. But why? Why do we want to be a world changer? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you here, Lord, we recognize that the love of God is so strong in this place. And we recognize, God, that there are many changes in all that's going on in our world. And Father, we recognize that for the most part, we signed up and we didn't read the small print. So Father, what I'm asking, over about the next 7 more weeks, that we struggle. We struggle with this. And Father, I'm asking for about the next 7-8 weeks that all of a sudden people get together and say, hey, what does it mean to be a church member? What does it mean? Father, help us to measure up. Father, help people come to church and be encouraged. Let us know, God, that person that's sitting next to you on this road, they need prayer for. They need somebody to say, I care. They need somebody to say, I love you. And not just one person. But Father, we need you. We need you so much. Help us, God, to be the world changer that you want us to be. And we know that this is the year of the church. And Father, as I recognize and as I was reading this morning that suicides are on the increase, lifespans in America is on the decrease, and we recognize that it's a spiritual problem. But we also recognize the solution. The solution is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we commit afresh to you. We will be a part of the solution. We will be a world changer. We will reach out and tell people about the love of God. We will make a difference. So God, guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, Brother Troy is not here with us. I'm sure he's with his brother, Robert, who's over in Tuscaloosa. He had heart surgery. Doing well. But he would be leading us in a song called Just As I Am, without one plea. But that thy love was shed for me. Let's share together that. If you'd like to give your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm going to be on the front row. There's other prayer needs. The prayer altars are open. What is God? What is God saying to you? And I trust that over the next few weeks, man, I trust that God's going to make you get into this and excited about this, because you're going to be a world changer. Let's stand together as we sing.